Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
So what say you? Is Michael Thomas a top receiver in the NFL? And if he's not, should he be paid as the top receiver in the NFL? Are you paying, as Carlos Medina said from 680 to Fan in Atlanta, for special? I like how you said that, because I think that does win the argument for you. Saints willing to go 18. He'd like 22. I'm sure they'll settle somewhere in between. So Sports Hangover, hour number two. Join the intern with me here in Metairie. Joey back over in the La Rose studios tomorrow, high noon. Big announcement, big news here on ESPN New Orleans. So we'll get to that here, of course, tomorrow. What your thoughts at ESPN Radio NOLA on what you think of the message Drew Brees had for Zion Williamson as well, with the Michael Thomas question that we threw out there. Sent him a jersey, autographed, framed. It was in his hotel suite. And is that the video of him reading it?
Yeah. Actually, okay. Yeah, go to New Orleans Pelicans.
Well, thanks for telling me that now. Appreciate
it.
Yeah, exactly.
I literally just saw it.
Exactly. When did it come out?
5 minutes ago.
5 minutes ago. So you're 4 minutes late in telling me.
I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah, Bellman's coming right up to the desk. All right, thank you. Even the worst pain, this is just, oh my God. Zion, welcome to the family. Let's dance. Telling you, man, I'm gonna make that like global. Simple as that. Like, let's dance, man. Man, this is nice. My first jersey for a professional athlete. Drew Brees.
So now.
Pretty cool, Zion taking a picture of it. So the video is him literally walking to his suite.
Thank you, Drew Brees. It's a nice gift. Sheesh. Our first jersey. I'm going to collect a lot of these. I know D-Wade probably got like 100, 1,000 something.
Yeah, you got quite a few. Don't worry, you're going to get yours.
That's pretty cool. It's his dad obviously filming that. And on the jersey, Jordan, what does it say?
It says, passing the torch to you. Who dat?
Yeah. It says to Zion, passing the torch. Again, Jeff Duncan and I spoke in hour number one about that. And I think what he means by that, it's not to put the pressure of, hey, you got to bring championships and all that other stuff. I think that's almost understood, obviously, that's what comes when you're drafted number one overall and all of that. But I think it's more of the ancillary things that Drew Brees does. Does that make sense? Because I know Brian has talked about the next face of the franchise with the Saints. Right? And I think he's right. Cam Jordan's out there. He's, I mean, unapologetic on Good Morning Football yesterday morning.
Speaking of money, though, Michael Thomas, we were talking about it a little earlier.
Hey, man.
Oh, there, Cam, you dig it. Highest paid receiver in the league.
I mean, nobody's done what he's done his first three years. Highest paid.
Ooh. All right, simple.
Nobody's catching.
Is it that simple?
More receptions? Who's had more in the first 3 years? Mm.
And he's the guy.
Yeah. His catch rate speaks for itself.
85 plus.
All right, so that's Cam Jordan again, and he's been out there. And I think that's one of the things that Brian's been saying. He's definitely one of those guys. So when Drew Brees says passing the torch to you, don't you view, Jordan, that torch, not necessarily meaning the face of
I guess
the team and things that nature.
Key to the city.
Being that guy that's going to be the global ambassador.
Right.
And what he means by that, first off, you heard Zion say that in the video, that I'm going to make it global. He's going with the Less Dance thing, right? I saw somebody get tattooed on the back, or was it on their forearm?
Yeah, it was on their wrist.
On their wrist. Let's Dance. I think when Drew Brees says passing the torch to you is right now, wherever Drew Brees goes, he's seen as New Orleans, isn't he? He's spoken out about things, interviews, what have you, always speaks about the city, the connection with the team and the city.
Goes on Ellen a lot, always brings a jersey with him.
And that's what I mean, is that I think that's what he's referring to with Zion Williamson. You're the ambassador. People are going to see you as New Orleans. So what you say, how you are, how you act, what you do, they're going to relate to New Orleans. It's incredible to see that reaction, though, right? He's like, this first time he ever got... It's incredible to me because of all the fanfare and everything that's come, you know. And I keep hearing from people that have been close to him the last couple of days, one way, shape, or form. And he is genuinely like that. Like, he can't understand this right now. And again, it's, we said this before the draft. Put yourself in that situation for a second. Are you seeing videos of entire salespeople whose careers, lives can change? Gentry, players, organizations, merchandising, companies that attach themselves, they're all banking on you. That's a lot of pressure, man. I'm just happy we don't get a tweet every day that we stink. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's all I'm open for.
Yes, we do, but I just
we do. You just don't tell me. Well, that's good, but that's your job. That's your job to shield me from the storm, you know?
But first line of defense.
First line of defense. It is, though. It's crazy when you think of all of that. I don't know if I can handle it. I'm 43. I don't have that kind of pressure. Like, the only people that really honestly depend on me is little guy, my wife. Come home every day, stay out of trouble, and help us pay the bills. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's legitimately my immediate worry. Ancillary worries. Yes, I got to do a good job so the station does well. Jordan, you have an internship. I mean, but it's not that. I don't know many people that have that amount of pressure, you know, to it. And it's not on the court, Kenny Hoop. I'm talking about ancillary things, right? Tickets sold, businesses. It's pretty incredible when you think about it. But if you're confident in yourself, and I think if you do things right and you have a good support staff, at the end of the day, just go out and you play. I think that's what it is. More than anything. Oh, looky who already. See, still. My phone is working, right? Just wondering.
Yes, it's working.
All right, just making sure. Still waiting for that text back from the Graf when he can join us. Huh?
He's busy.
Apparently a little too busy. Not busy enough
he's
to
tweet. He's signing autographs.
Now he's on the bandwagon. He grabbed the
that was an hour
the
ago,
tweet
Chris.
From the Pelicans where they welcome Crescent City native at NT Graf as the team's new radio play-by-play announcer. You know what he quote tweeted?
What did he quote?
Let's Dance.
Good for him.
Could have been. Thanks, Gus. No, he went with Let's Dance. Now he's on it, too. Just
why
let's
would he
dance.
Say thanks, Gus?
Why not?
What have you done for the Graf?
Well, I've done a lot.
Like?
Well, it's for me to know.
Then I guess you can't really say that on air if you won't tell us what you've done for.
Well, I will say on the air is that you were scared yesterday.
I was not scared.
Scared of the Pelicans taking on your Los Angeles Lakers. Nervous that poor Zion wouldn't be able to handle the pressure, wouldn't be able to handle a bad game. He's going to set the tone negatively for the season. What if they lose, Gus? What if, you went on and on and on. And another reason you and Brian were going on and on, well, with the national media, you know, they're going to just, what if he has a bad game, 3-for-13? You see, I told you he was a buster. What did I tell you? It's going to happen regardless. It's going to happen if it's a game in November, December, January, February, because that's what they do. When LeBron loses two games in a row, it's fire everybody's LeBron done. That's what they do. That's what that show does, right?
No.
That's what I told you.
It's not LeBron's fault.
What happened this morning? First take.
To talk about players who went to college. That's not LeBron. It's not Kobe. It's not KG, okay. Right? Who went to college and won championships who were highly touted coming out of college. Okay,
hold on, Zion
Tim
didn't
Duncan.
Win a championship?
Huh?
Zion, are you saying Zion won a championship?
I'm comparing him to those guys.
Listen,
you can't compare.
He didn't win
one.
Stop jumping to the conclusion and listen.
Tim Duncan, 20.8 points, 58% from the field.
And he won.
Zion, 22.6 points, 68% from the field. Dwayne Wade, 21.5 points, 50% from the field. As I said, Zion, more points, higher percentage from the field. Shaquille O'Neal, who in certain respects is the best comparison to Zion. Overwhelming physical force of nature with skills. Shaquille O'Neal, 24 points, 62% right in line with Zion Williamson.
Shaq, yo.
By the way,
compare
Steph
anybody
Curry,
to Shaq.
KD, he's a one-and-done Zion who put up numbers just about as good as anyone who ever lived, certainly as a freshman in college. Plus, you just talked about his work ethic. Unless there's an injury, knock wood, how does he fail?
Listen, he has to define his game. Even your man Kawhi Leonard, when he first came into the league, Kawhi Leonard was a power forward at San Diego State. Well, what did Kawhi Leonard develop? He started with a corner three and played defense. Two things he could do. Then from there, he sat out the year. He was scrutinized. He developed his shot off the bounce. He knows how to go and get it with the league's best. 1-2 dribble, split dribble, pound, pound, raise up, knock down a big three or a mid-range shot. Right now, Zion does not have that in his game. You know what Zion does?
He's
better
19.
Than anybody in the league. Bang!
Okay.
Throw it down.
Pause. Pause. Ryan Hollis.
Pause. Dunk the basketball.
This is why I love you. Because you just proved my point. Zion Williams has to develop. Nobody said he didn't. But when you
LeBron
talk
James
about
LeBron James was a main product, dog. When you, LeBron was made.
No, he wasn't.
No.
No, he was not. Stop, Ryan. Ryan, you a basketball guy. You played in the NBA. Stop.
Please.
Stop with this. LeBron was developed when he got out.
I mean, do you see what's going on already? But at least two guys did defending. That's what I've always been saying. Give the kid some time. He's going to learn a lot of other things. Jordan had become the greatest of all time right out of North Carolina. He had a lot of things that you could develop, but you had a lot of stuff that was already there. Did you listen? No, that's why I'm telling you. It needs to be required viewing for most of America in January. The 30 for 30 from Michael Jeffrey Jordan. This guy thinks LeBron was what he is right now out of high school. Are you kidding me? Oh, man. My point, though, is, Jordan, to you and Brian's point about national narratives and stuff yesterday, it's going to be there no matter what. It's going to be there no matter what. So bring it on. I even texted you all that this morning. I said, bring it on.
I also want to bring up another point. It's kind of off topic.
Okay.
About the whole draft, how not a lot of players can be picked out the draft that will be your cornerstone piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gus, you said you only see an AD every once in a while. I mean, we got AD 7 years ago, and now 7 years later we have Zion.
Right,
so.
7 years. And AD didn't become an MVP for a couple of years after. And Giannis took him some time after, 2013 to now, to win an MVP. It takes time. It takes time. You can give me the grin all you want.
I mean, I'm
okay,
just saying.
Give me a guy out of the draft that won MVP. Go ahead. You can Google all you want.
Out of the draft?
Out of the draft.
Nobody.
Rookie season, MVP. Rookie season, GOAT. That happened. Takes time to develop. Unless you're Ryan Hollins, who thinks LeBron was an MVP right out of high school. Oh, man. Go back and watch. He brought a lot of excitement to Cleveland. Immediately. Go back and look up the numbers for OKC when they had Harden, Westbrook, Durant. How long did it take them to get to the postseason? They all, by the way, wound up winning MVPs. Each and every one of them individually. Takes time, which is why you heard David Griffin say it yesterday, or on Friday, and say it again on Thursday. Be patient. Give us a plan. Or listen to the plan that we got, and we'll get there. But anyway, I wanted to play that for you. And then, of course, yesterday the MVP award was given out, Giannis winning it. So it was an emotional take, what he had to say about his mom and the parents. Did you see that, Jordan?
Yeah.
It was incredible. And I also love how he spoke about how he sees with winning. And I just, and again, I'm going to stop this eventually, you know, comparing one thing to what AD sort of is and everything. But again, just when you do come out before last season and tell us that you're the most dominant player on the planet.
What a joke.
You kind of have to back up a statement like that, don't you? Right? This was Giannis last night.
You know, MVP is not about stats and numbers. Obviously, James Harden had the unbelievable numbers and Paul George also, but it's all about winning. You know, it's all about making sure that you go out there with your teammate and do whatever you take to win. And I think that's what we did as a team. We created great habits throughout the season, and we were able to stick by them, and that's why we were able to have a chance, you know, in every single game we played, and we were able to win 60 games.
By the way, Brian actually made a good point. You just proved our point.
Yeah, you don't even know what you're talking about. Y'all went back and forth so many times on what your point actually really was.
But you proved
y'all
our point.
Y'all had no idea.
You proved our point.
You didn't prove anything. Giannis, working done.
You know, everything I do, I always want to have my family, you know, around me. We started from nothing as a family, and we're going to be in every stage that we can be as a family. The journey hasn't ended yet. There's a lot of goals that I've set for myself and for the team also. And I'm a guy that whenever I set goals, I try to accomplish them no matter what. But at the end of the day, I'm going to stay hungry. I have the guys, the people that support me on a daily basis. And as long as they're there for me, I'm always going to stay hungry. I'm always going to chase my dreams. I'm always going to chase my goals because that's what my family wants me to do, and that's what the people that know me want me to do.
That was after he got off the podium and had his little media session on the podium. Probably my favorite part of the speech, Joey, just 30 seconds.
And I want to thank my amazing mom. My amazing mom. I think my amazing mom, she's my hero. She's, always when you're a little kid, you don't see the future, right? And you have a good parent, your parent sees the future for you. And she always saw the future in us. She always believed in us. She was always there for us. She's the foundation of this family. You're my true hero. You're my true hero. And I want to thank
It was tough listening to him saying he wished his dad was there and died of a heart attack 2 years ago. That was awesome, though, to hear that. If you got a good parent, they see the future before you when you can't see it. If you can't root for that guy, man, that was fun to see. By the way, you did notice most of the top awards from Rookie of the Year, Most Improved. Giannis, what's the one common denominator, Jordan?
From Greece.
They're all non-American, all foreigners. Again, I keep saying it, the NBA, a global game. Zion Williamson could reach his potential or exceed it. Guy's going to be huge globally, not just in New Orleans. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Now maybe we'll see on the 4th of
July, but I'm not too sure. Assistance of appliances.
Are you tired of waiting in the big box stores?
Customer needs assistance in appliances. Never mind. Rod's Superstore.
Spring is in the air at Rod's Superstore in Houma. Rod's is now an authorized Blaze barbecue grill and accessory dealer. With the Blaze limited lifetime warranty and a selection of grills, side burners, and flat top burners, along with refrigerators and outdoor island, will make any backyard a getaway. The heat is on, and Rod's Superstore has Friedrich and Frigidaire window air conditioners from 5,000 to 36,000 BTUs to keep you cool this summer. Rod's Superstore has home appliances by Frigidaire Pro, Sub-Zero, Wolf, KitchenMaid, Whirlpool, and Maytag. Refrigerators and freezers, ranges, and dishwashers, washers, and gas and electric dryers. All this and factory-trained in-house service for their customers only. Why not Rod's Superstore? 808 Barrow Street in Houma.
sizzling hot summer savings at Craig LaValle Toyota's Summer Sales Event. Our new Express Store makes shopping online easier than ever. Get the all-new 2019 Tundra TSS off-road for just $32,990. That's just $32,990 for a new off-road Tundra four-door. Or buy a Craig LaValle Toyota 2018 Camry pre-owned for just $17,990. It's Craig LaValle Toyota's Summer Sales Event. Shop now at GregLeBlancToyota.com. We now offer home delivery. Tundra model 8239 MSRP 38449. $4,500 rebate. $959 discount. Camry pre-owned stock number 290271A. Several to choose plus DTNL.
Saunders and Chabe are attorneys at law, have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabe.com or call Scotty Boy Chabe at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
$10,000 for clunkers and junkers. $10,000 for any trade. Home of Clayton Homes. Trade in your old mobile home or anything with the title, regardless of the condition. Does your old mobile home rust, leak, or mold? We will take it for $10,000. Trade it in for something clean, neat, and new. Home of Clayton Homes. Home of Clayton Homes. Home of Clayton Homes. Home of Clayton Homes, located on Highway 311 in Houma. Be sure to check us out on Facebook.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. If you'd like to give us a buzz, give us your thoughts as well. I tell you, one of the things that we can continue to discuss here as well, I think it's going to be interesting. Did you see what happened over in California? So, the state of California wants its college athletes to be able to earn income. There's only one problem. The NCAA doesn't allow it. So, earlier this year, state legislators voted, overwhelmingly, by the way, 31-4. This is CBSSports.com and California Senate to allow student athletes to be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. Now, this won't mean anything per the story for current athletes because the statute wouldn't kick into effect until 2023. There are still some more policymaking hoops to jump through per the article, but California appears to be set in this game-changing environment. So what happens? USA Today reported that NCAA President Mark Emmert made an overture via a written letter to two chair people imploring California's state assembly leaders to reconsider the timeline of its forthcoming regulations. Mind you, again, this is 2023. It's not this year. It's not next year. His reasoning per the article is that California's lawmakers could wind up inadvertently triggering ineligibility for in-state California student athletes. The reason is simple and obvious. NCAA rules currently don't allow for players to profit off their own achievements, abilities, personalities, marketing, anything while in school. Specifically, players and or programs could be eliminated from NCAA championship participation that goes for both conference tournaments and national playoffs. So he sends them a letter. It says, keep in mind, you passed this. California schools, ineligible. Like all of them, you do that. USC, UCLA, any school in California. No postseason, no nothing. Ineligible. Emmert's letter says, we recognize all of the efforts that have been undertaken to develop this bill in the context of complex issues related to the current collegiate model that have been the subject of litigation and much national debate. Nonetheless, when contrasted with current NCAA rules as drafted, the bill threatens to alter materially the principles of intercollegiate athletics and create local differences that would make it impossible to host fair national championships. As a result, it likely would have a negative impact on the exact student athletes it intends to assist.
So now, because of the letter, they're going to try to get together and see if they can amend some things. As one of the chair people said, it is the intent of the legislator to monitor the NCAA working group and revisit the issue to implement significant findings and recommendations of the NCAA working group to further the statutory changes proposed by this act. So, Emmert basically says the passage of the bill now will create confusion among prospective and current student athletes and our membership. The impact of a prematurely passed bill would be difficult to untangle. I guess what he's worried about, Jordan, is that people will go to California schools thinking they're about to get paid. And it's not going to happen in 2023. And he doesn't want kids to go over there thinking they're going to get paid and then they're ruled ineligible. So he's kind of, he's throwing a little threat out there at the same time, but it brings the question to you, 800-998-1003. What if the state of Louisiana said we're paying our athletes? Are you cool with that? And do you think the NCAA should say, well, wait a minute, that rules them ineligible? Craig, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Yeah, Gus, I know we're getting close to a break and everything. Mm-hmm. I'll try to get it in, and maybe you can, even if you continue the discussion a little bit after the break. But anyway, look, this is what the can of worms that this opens. When you join and you're a member of an association, whether it's the NCAA, the NFL, take for example, or even, let's say, Louisiana High School Athletic Association, at what point do you separate state laws getting involved when you are a member of what, in essence, a private organization, and you have to abide by those organization rules? I mean, you're opening up a big can of worms, you know. So you don't think that's going to give the California schools an advantage in recruiting? If a kid says, well, hell, I'm going to California, I'm going to play ball, plus I'm getting paid, and the other states, I can't do that? I mean, it gives them a big recruiting advantage, and then where do you draw the line at? I mean, this could filter all the way down to the high school level, even, to where you can just see a bunch of litigation coming up. The Supreme Court is going to rule on, you know, it's just a can of worms. It's kind of crazy. But, of course, that's California for you.
Yeah, you know, and Craig, I think that's part of the thing about this, too. And I reached out to Tulane Athletic Director Troy Dandon. He's up with NCAA meetings in Indianapolis. And I'm going to do the same, the new athletic director at UNO, and I'm going to try to get maybe ULs. I want to get a handful of, because each conference and school, they're different, I guess, obstacles than Power Fives, Group of Five, independents, lower levels, what have you. But I want to get legit, honest-to-goodness athletic directors that have to deal with certain things and how to build it. Because what I've always said is, again, being a part of a school broadcasting, I get maybe a bit of a behind the scenes that a lot of people don't, right? So I talk to our travel person and see how much it costs for the team to fly commercially, to stay at a hotel, what, you know, the foot, the dinner bill and all that. So it's easy to sit there and go, they need to get paid. Great. My first question after that is not that they shouldn't. It's who's paying it and how much. Because when it comes to money, Craig, it's never going to be enough. So if you go based off of what the schools do, you know, what I'm saying is, my point that I'm going off and off, I'm going to get athletic directors in the studio so we can talk to them about that. Yeah. And how feasible is it legitimately to pay an athlete?
Well, Gus, let me throw this in real quick, you know, before the break. You know, the legal question is going to be, look, I'm in favor of the athletes getting paid something. A stipend or something. I am not 100% opposed to that. But can a state legislature force upon a private organization the rules and the laws that they want? Or, you know, that's going to be the legal question. And that filters down all the way to the NFL, the NCAA, the NBA, the high school athletic associations also. In other words, who has ultimate authority?
Yeah.
The courts are going to decide that. Can these organizations set their own rules, or do they have to abide by laws that a legislature would put in place? And that's going to be the legal quandary with this whole thing.
Craig, you just brought up a great point that I'll address a little later, because the first thing that popped in my head when you said that is sports and athletics a lot of times put
people and cities in peril as of, you know, you don't build a new stadium, we'll move. Well, if any public funds have been on there, what if the legislature said you can't? That's our team. So, yeah, that's interesting. Thank you, Craig. Phil Steele is on, man. Yeah. Got to hit the break. We'll come back. Right. We'll speak with Mr. College Football himself. We'll start going over some of the teams to keep an eye on the upcoming college football season. Saints get the training camp, first day of practice, 1 month away. College football right around the corner. We'll talk that next with Mr. Phil Steele on ESPN New Orleans.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports. You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living. Because the latest deck from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, it comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. And that's something wood can't promise. Find Trex on shelves at the Home Depot and bring home the number one name in outdoor living.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN1003.com.
Don't need much of an introduction for our next guest, Mr. Phil Steele, philsteele.com. You can go pretty much anywhere and go get that college football preview, a must-have. And, of course, you can follow him over on Twitter at philsteele042. Phil, how are you this afternoon, man? Thanks for joining us on the Sports Hangover.
You know, I am doing great, Gus. I appreciate the AC/DC opening there. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. It just kind of hit me by surprise. You know, you might have heard of Zion and the Pelicans and the Hoops and 80. I've been so basketball. I totally walked in today. I'm like, we got a month until Saints training camp. College football is around the corner. I know LSU had their little LSU caravan here in New Orleans last night. So it really is, man, around the corner. When do most teams start their fall practices?
Yeah, it's going to be right at the end of July, start of August. So it's coming right around the corner. And believe me, there are times where I have football season, which goes from August all the way through January, and then or even February with the Super Bowl, and then it's magazine season from November all the way through the end of May. And now it's this is my fun time of year, though. I get to work 50, 60 hours a week just talking football on the radio, and it's almost like not even working, Gus. You know the feeling, don't you?
No, I do, and that's why I was going to ask you. I saw your tweet earlier. You had 15 shows today, so I don't want to take up too much of your time, but, I mean, do you ever get tired of it? Because I think it's different from this aspect. It's always Bama, and then you see what happened yesterday, right? I mean, we know they're going to be good, but there's Clemson, there's Bama the last 4 years, two apiece. Phil, in short, is it still a two-school race for the national championship?
Well, you know, it is this year, but in the same token, I'm going to take you back to last year, Gus.
Okay.
Clemson's a four-touchdown favorite in Death Valley. They're taking on Syracuse. Their quarterback, Brian, transfers. Their first start, Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence gets injured. Down to your third-string quarterback, trailing in the fourth quarter. They need a conversion on fourth and 10 to keep the drive alive. They score a late score and end up escaping against Syracuse. Had they lost that game, Syracuse would have won the division. Clemson wouldn't even have won their own ACC championship, might not have made the playoffs last year. So anything can happen in college football. That's the beauty of it.
How impressed were you with what Clemson did in a national championship game?
Very impressed. And probably most impressed with Trevor Lawrence, the way he attacked that Alabama defense and, should I say, shredded that Alabama defense last year. And that was a guy where all leading up to the game, it's like, well, this guy's a true freshman. He's taking on Nick Saban. How is that going to work out? and it worked out pretty good. They've got one of the most explosive offenses in the country. And defensively, despite losing three first-round draft picks and a third-round draft pick off that D-line, I still rate their defense number five in the country, their defensive line number five in the country. And when you look at Clemson's talent and schedule this year, they're probably going to be at least a 17-point favorite in every single game they play.
Wow. So, obviously, the team that they played, Alabama, here in New Orleans in the Baton Rouge area, obviously, we keep an eye on what LSU can sort of do. Are they still that far and above everyone else in the SEC, or have we seen some chinks in their armor in terms of what, you know, obviously what Georgia can do, and you saw A&M and LSU kind of battle it out? Are teams getting closer to making it interesting as to who represents the West going into Atlanta?
Yeah, you know, Georgia led them 28-14 in the second half last year. It looked like they were on the way to upsetting Alabama. And 2 years ago, Bama came up short against Auburn and Jordan-Hare. They have to play in Jordan-Hare again this year. LSU is a team that's very talented. I rate them the number four team in the country talent-wise. So I think with Alabama, they learned last year. Remember, there's a point last year where folks are saying, is this the greatest team of all time? And they almost lost to Georgia, got past Oklahoma, and got blown out by Clemson. I think anything is possible in college football. But for the record, I went with Alabama as the team to win the SEC this year. Loaded on offense, much like Clemson. In fact, my only question this year is for the who's going to be the top offense. Is it Clemson or Alabama? And they're probably going to come pretty close to scoring. But Alabama's got a better defense, six returning starters, as opposed to three last year. And they've got the schedule where they're probably going to be favored in every game by double digits this season.
Speaking with Phil Steele, Phil, you mentioned LSU as your number four team talent-wise. Why do you say that?
First of all, you look at last year's squad, and they took me a little bit by surprise, Gus. I mean, they were one of the least experienced teams in the country. They're playing a brutal schedule. I figured they'd be an underdog in five or six games. They were an underdog in five or six games last year, but they still finished with 10 wins. Joe Burrow's a guy who was a game manager most of last season. Until the end of the year. Then Joe Burrow became a game maker, and he started making some big plays down the stretch, and I think Joe Burrow's going to have a big year. I like the addition of John Emery and Davis Price as the true freshman running backs to go along with Edwards-Helaire. The receiving core looks solid, offensive line's good, and defensively much more experienced this year. In fact, they've got my number one rated secondary in the entire country. So this is a very talented LSU team, both offensively and defensively. And unlike last year, when they were an underdog for all those games, they only figured to be an underdog this year coming in one game, and that's at Alabama.
All right, Phil, you talked a little bit about the SEC, obviously, and some of the teams that you have there. Other teams other than Clemson and the ACC that you think can make a push? Is Michigan one of those teams in the Big Ten, Ohio State?
Yeah, every year I've been picking Ohio State over Michigan, Ohio State over Michigan. Every year Ohio State's beaten Michigan, so it's been pretty much perfect for me. But this year I'm actually choosing Michigan in that game, and here's why. You look at Michigan defensively, they do lose some players, but they have five starters back. 2 years ago, Don Brown's defense only had one returning starter. They allowed 18.8 points per game. They're going to have a top-10 defense. But offensively, they bring over Josh Gattis, the co-offense coordinator at Alabama last year. He's bringing in the spread offense. Perfect fit for Shea Patterson this year. And you look at the running back core they have, a little bit of a question mark, but I like the freshmen they have bringing in. Offensive line is solid. And then the schedule. The three toughest teams they play are Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Ohio State. They get all three at home. Harbaugh's 24-4 straight up at home in Ann Arbor. I think this is the year Michigan not only finally gets past Ohio State, but wins the Big Ten and actually makes the playoff.
You mentioned Notre Dame in there. Is that a team that, again, we're going to sort of see have a nice regular season and maybe make a push into the playoff?
I think the schedule's different. I like this year's Notre Dame team compared to last year's. I think the two teams are very close. I called for Notre Dame as my number one surprise team last year, which is a non-top 10 team I thought could make the playoff. I thought they had the talent and the schedule to get there, and they did. And while this year's team is equally as strong as last year's Notre Dame team, what I don't like is the schedule. Two games in particular, at Georgia, at Michigan. And I think that's going to be the difference between Notre Dame going 12-0 during the regular season and potentially getting a 10-win season. They also have to play at Stanford the final game of the season, which is pretty tricky, and the home teams dominated that series. So three real tough road games that Notre Dame did not have last year.
I'm kind of enjoying speaking with Phil Steele here, the back and forth. I don't know. Some people think it's a little petty, but Baker Mayfield going back and forth, the Texas quarterback. What do you see the Big 12 like this year? Is it Texas or Oklahoma?
I think it's Oklahoma and Texas battling it out in the regular season and the Red River rivalry, and then probably once again in the Big 12 championship game. And no, Texas came pretty close last year. Now, what I don't like about Texas, the overall experience level, they only have 8 returning starters coming back, but they do have Ellinger back, and Tom Herman's been bringing in the talent. When I look at Oklahoma, I was talking to Lincoln Riley this spring, and I said, Coach, you made me a liar last year because I said very strongly in my radio show circuit that, I like Kyler Murray, he's a good quarterback, but no way does he match Baker Mayfield's numbers from last year. And then he goes out and does it. So you've got yourself a quarterback whisperer in Lincoln Riley. You've got a veteran quarterback in Jalen Hurts. My biggest question mark with Oklahoma, probably the offensive line. Last year they won the Joe Moore Award. It was a very good offensive line. This year just one starter back on the O-line. But Oklahoma will be favored in all 12 of their games. So I think it's Oklahoma-Texas part two this year for the Big 12 title game.
When you look at the Pac-12, I've always been a fan of Stanford. I like how they play. We got used for a while of Oregon sort of being that team over there. It feels it's kind of open a little bit this year, don't you?
Very much open. In fact, my number one surprise team last year, as I mentioned, was Notre Dame. This year, my number one surprise team is also from the Pac-12, but it's one that not a lot of folks have on their tongues this time of year, and that is the Utah Utes. They're coming off a 7-6 season. 2 years ago, they were 9-5 last year, and so nobody's really got any expectations for Utah. But what I like about them, they have my number one rated defensive line in the entire country. When you look at Utah up front, they've got players like Bradley Anae, Penasini, Fotu. They've go 11 deep on the defensive line. The linebacking core DBs are solid. Last year, they lost their starting quarterback, Tyler Huntley, and star running back, Zach Moss, to injury with 5 games to go, yet still made it to the Pac-12 title game and nearly won that. Well, those two guys are back. The offensive line's in good shape. So are the receiving core. And the schedule gets softer. Last year, they had to play the top 4 teams out of the Pac-12 North. This year, they avoid Oregon. They avoid Stanford. I think Utah has a chance, potentially, to run the table and be that surprise team or a team nobody's talking about that has a shot of making the playoff this year.
Two final questions for you. We've talked a lot about the Power Five, the group of five, right? I mean, UCF kind of made some noise out of the American. Is there a team or two, you're speaking about surprises, that are not from the Power Five conferences that could have a fun season and could be some good storylines?
I don't think anybody, in my storyline would be, I don't think any group of five team runs the table this year. I think they all have their landmines on the schedule where they slip up somewhere along the way. UCF, of course, if they run the gauntlet this year, you look at their schedule, and they've got the schedule which could make some noise. They play at Florida Atlantic, which I think is a much improved team, Stanford at home, who you touched on, at Pitt, the team that was in the ACC title game last year, and then 2 weeks later, at Cincinnati. If they run that gauntlet undefeated, they'll be getting all kinds of attention, but I don't think they do. And maybe a team like Memphis has a shot. They play by number 111 schedule. They got Brady White, a quarterback. They still have a couple of landmines on the schedule. So I think out of the group of five, everybody ends up with at least one loss, and that will at least alleviate any conversation we have about a group of five team making the playoff this year.
Willie Fritz with Tulane, obviously here locally. They finally went bowling last season. They believe that they can take another step going, another season in which you see them at least going bowling?
Absolutely. I love the job that Willie Fritz is doing. Isn't it amazing the difference that one play can make? Because 2 years ago, Tulane had that shot at the end of the game, and they went for the win, and they came up short. And then last year, they went for it, and they got it, and they ended up in a bowl game, won the bowl game, and had a winning season. So completely different, but the benefit is the bowl practices that Tulane got last year. And when you look at Tulane this year, the big reason they went 5-1 down the stretch, I feel, was the insertion of Justin McMillan, a quarterback. LSU fans very familiar with Justin. They've got 3 dynamite running backs in Bradwell, Dauphin, and Hutterson. You look at the receiving core, they had in a guy like Jalen McCleskey from Oklahoma State. That's a big-time get. Their question mark at the end, the offensive line, where only 2 starters return, but I like the defense. They have one of the better defenses in the American Conference. And I think when you look at the talent that Tulane has back, this is Willie Fritz's best team here in his 4th year.
And the final thing I want to ask you is it's not specifically about a team, just overall sort of trend. We saw it last year, and you mentioned with Trevor with Clemson, two of the year before that. Freshman quarterbacks, so should we just get accustomed to freshman players being able to come in and make plays, not just that quarterback, and be difference makers in colleges now?
Yes, big time yes on that answer. And I think players are better prepared. They've turned it into a full-time job. A lot of them are not playing the other sports. They're just sticking with football. We've seen left tackles come in, for crying out loud, and do well. I've been doing the magazine for 25 years. You didn't see that 25 years ago, especially quarterbacks. You didn't see that. I think a player like Graham Mertz, for example, from Wisconsin, you're going to see him come in and perhaps do better than what their senior quarterback would have done this year. It's just turned into that in college football. Teams are better prepared, and we're seeing a lot more impact out of those true freshmen.
PhilSteele.com is the way to go online. You can get it shipped and ordered. And, of course, Phil, you pick a place anywhere, right? Your magazine's going to be there, my friend.
Yeah, you know, it's hitting the newsstands today, which makes it exciting, Gus. First official on-sale date, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Books A Million, CVS, Target, Walgreens, public places like that, your local grocery store. Just head out and check it out and pick up a book. You'll see it's heavy. It's very thick. It feels like a book when you get it. And it's like getting 130 different media guides all rolled into one, except all the information is on the same spot for every page. We give you two full pages on Tulane, ULM, Louisiana, the same amount of coverage we give to Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma. I think you really enjoy it.
It's what, 25 years, huh?
25th anniversary. It's hard to believe. First of all, that makes me a little older than I feel, but it's something that really snuck up on me pretty quick.
Oh, look, man, I mean this respectfully. 20 years this August I've been doing this, 10 this talk show, and I, as far as I can remember back, there is no college football season until I pick up one of your guides. So, I mean, that's so before I even got into this business, you were sort of a companion for us when it comes to college football, man. So thanks for giving us a little time this afternoon and doing it with us.
That's an awesome compliment, Gus. I'll take that with me during magazine season when I'm wondering why I do this. I'll take a comment like that, replay it, and I'll say, you know what, that's the reason why. Always great talking football with you, my friend.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you so much. At PhilSteele042 on Twitter, and of course, PhilSteele.com, Mr. Phil Steele. Thank you, bud. You weren't even born 25 years ago.
He knows everything.
It's so fast.
It's kind of scary, too.
It is. No, it's like I could have. Here's the thing.
No, it's like
you
scary.
You can do an hour straight. Like, we could have named me every team.
No, you can do a full week.
That's the thing. You just know. It's just. But it's what he said, too. You have it with you. You have it in your bag. And then you have it on your desk throughout the season because it's two pages on every school. And it gives you at least a starting point of where to go, you know, when the season starts. It's every school. And that's what's key. You can do 25 pages on Alabama, half a page on ULM. And that's not a knock. But the fact that every school gets the same amount, that means he's only putting the most important things on everything. Does that make sense?
Correct.
So it's pretty cool from that aspect of it. It's always fun to have him. It's like I look at the clock and I feel bad. Like I want to talk so much. I could have asked him about it. Anything. Who's this year's Kentucky in the SEC? I mean, is Florida really that good? I just
name a school.
There's so much I can get into. I just know he's going to go on Matt's show at some point as well. He's making the radio circuit. He's probably going to focus more on SEC. So I kind of went more broader college football. Sports Hangover continues. It's ESPN New Orleans.
It's Matt Moscona.
Love you, Matt.
Paul O'Neill.
They're chanting Paul O'Neill's name.
And Musso.
And we invite you to join us every single weekday for After Further Review. I tell you every single day. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Weekdays on After Further Review. Join us from 3 to 6. It's AFR on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
There's a chance your local Geico agent laughs the exact way you do.
And I said, not in my sandwich.
What?
But there's a better chance your local Geico agent could help you out with auto, homeowners, renters, or condo insurance. Motorcycle, boat, or RV insurance, too. They'll work hard to provide sound advice and significant savings. You don't need to share a laugh pattern to do that. Local Geico agents. Call or visit yours today.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
Pros do it right by relying on trusted brands to get the job done. Lowe's is here to help with more of those brands in stock, like DeWalt. We stock the largest in-store selection of DeWalt power tools and accessories of any national retailer. Shop July 4th savings and get a DeWalt 20-volt max two-tool combo kit for just $179. And save $10 on a DeWalt Tough Grip 27-piece steel hex shank screwdriver bit set now for just $9.98. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 7-3 U.S. only.
At a young age, I learned how fragile life is. When I was 11 years old, my mom was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. As the oldest child, I quickly became her secondary caregiver, which has forever shaped me. We helped my mom through multiple recurrences for 4 years before losing her to this devastating disease. At the time, treatment options were limited. All we could do was retreat with chemotherapy and watch and wait and hope. It was so hard for us to hear that the doctors thought they had it, but truly didn't. My time with my mom was cut short. But now, women living with recurrent ovarian cancer have options like maintenance therapies, which can extend their time in response and delay recurrence. These options mean power in an otherwise powerless situation. That's why I stand together with care partners and women living with ovarian cancer to declare Not On My Watch. Visit notonmywatch.com to learn more.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us. Back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Phil Steele saying LSU, your Fighting Tigers. Number four most talented team in all of the land. Number one most talented secondary in all the land as well. Utah Utes. The team that he says could be the surprise.
The Ute.
Yep. You are not anywhere near as informed as Phil Steele, nor am I.
No, I 100% agree.
Yeah. On June 25th, your surprise team. Now, neither you and I have even looked. I don't even know what's the time. I told you, though,
after work
Pro Football Focus had LSU as number three in their top 25. There's a lot of people that feel LSU is talented this year. I think they can make a run at Bama. I honestly do.
LSU?
I do. I'm in shock because you're the same guy. No, people think
said,
I hate LSU.
I'm just
a realist.
I know. That's not where I'm going. I'm saying You're the same guy last year where it's like no one's touching them besides Clemson for the next three years.
I wasn't the only one that thought that, amigo. And they were pretty good. If Tua doesn't get injured, I don't think it's coincidence that their games are a little closer. They almost lost to Georgia.
Don't give me this whole Tua.
Oh, okay. You're right. Okay, so bum wheel and stuff doesn't matter, right?
They got destroyed.
Doesn't matter. Their quarterback was hurt.
They still got destroyed. That the quarterback doesn't play defense.
Clemson
does
had
the,
a good
does
game
the quarterback
well,
play defense?
It again, I did not take anything away from Clemson. That's not what I did. But they, I mean, again, name me how many people were going into that game saying Clemson was winning.
I was one of those people.
I was saying I was one of those people that said
Clemson was going to lose. Uh-huh. That's what I was going to.
Okay. Cause I was going to say.
I didn't say Clemson's going to win.
Of course not. But that's what I'm saying. Because we saw how talented they were.
Exactly.
But I do think that you're seeing more and more ways to, we all know how to do it. You have to have the right players to do it, to beat Alabama. LSU's never been the problem. It's never been the problem of talent at the skill positions. Now, having the proper quarterback to help you deliver, I think is going to help. Having Burrow back a second season is going to help. We'll see what Brady's offense or contributions to the offensive scheme is going to help as well, you know, coming over from the Saints. He said it, though. I think the addition of the two freshman running backs are massive. You did not have NFL-caliber running backs back there. I'm not picking on the guys that played last year. That's just the truth. Another season of those receivers with that quarterback doing certain things, being creative on offense, doing things like that. I think all of that's going to help. So I think that does help. But I think when you look at it, going into this year, again, it's not just Phil. There's a lot of people that have LSU, top five, top ten teams that have, you know, instances where they think they can play as well. Andrew Lopez walking in, going to hang out with us next hour, talk a little basketball as well, little Pels, talk about the NBA awards last night, that the right person gets the MVP. I liked it as well. But since we have about 1 minute here before the top of the hour, I know you literally just walked in and you'll probably have a clue what I'm talking about. We just had Phil Steele on talking LSU. Yep. He says that a number four team, talent-wise, number one in the secondary. I wouldn't even say it's a bold statement. I think they can make a run at maybe beating Bama this year. I think they have that sort of talent. It's always been, obviously, the line and things of that nature. But again, even as a fan or just from when you talk to people, is there that kind of excitement in Baton Rouge from what you gather?
Definitely on the defensive side of the ball. You have Grant Delpit, who is one of the top defenders in the country. You saw how they used him last year. Obviously, you lose Devin White from that interior of the linebacking core. How you replace him is going to be a big deal. Do you put Mike DeVinley's moving in there, mm-hmm. Jacob Phillip, Patrick Queen. So to me, it's all about what you do on the offensive side. Defense is going to be defense.
See, I think the additions of the two running backs, man, are incredible. Whether it's Emory or
Ty Davis.
Right. Yeah,
you got a lot of,
that's going to help you,
it's
right?
It's Joe Burrow. It's Brady. It's what does Brady do to that offense? How much of that Saints concepts does he
put in
there?
I was going to say, I want to touch on that when we come back because I want to give it the proper time, because who better than Brady to understand how to use a runner that's a pass catcher and things of that nature to where almost mimic what Breeze does. Just get it out of your hand.
I think he
make
joked,
the
he,
right decision.
He joked yesterday about not having any huddles. I know they kind of got a lot of LSU fans excited. Okay, so right. We'll see what happens.
So there. You were at the Caravan yesterday.
I was not, but I do follow a lot of people who were at the Caravan yesterday.
Andrew Lopez, TaskMeCunola.com. We'll talk NBA. We'll talk football as well. Don't go anywhere. You'll listen to ESPN New Orleans. This girl, I